Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to inspiring women who have overcome difficulty and setbacks in their lives, which may just help us look at our own day or our own life differently. It may even change our mindset, and they may just help us in this very stressful situation we're all now facing. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Tracy McNess. Hello, Tracy, and welcome.
Hello, Nikki.
Thank you so much for talking to us today, Tracy. Now, Tracy McNess is an Essex bad girl turned good and a former jailbird prisoner held in captivity and confinement. She's now the owner of an award-winning successful farming food company. So, Tracy, you've always had a flair for business, not all of it legal, if you don't mind me saying. Now, everyone is struggling being stuck at home and literally feeling captive in their own home, in isolation, in lockdown. And we think your journey to jail and back could help them with some of your insights and personal experiences. So what happened, Tracy? What did you do? How did you end up in jail?
I was seeing someone at the time who managed to get me involved in what he was getting up to. He asked me if I knew two men that would unload a lorry for him. And being a bit naive and stupid, and it was a new relationship. So I thought, oh, well, I'll get myself some brownie points and get in the good book. So I obliged. Very shortly after I helped him out with this, I found myself in a rather awkward situation because I was arrested along with six men in a petrol garage in 2002 in the early hours of the morning by 100 National Crime Squad officers. And we was all arrested for conspiracy to import one tonne of cannabis into the country. Well, the boyfriend got away that night and he's never been seen to this day. But the rest of us was rounded up by the police and taken to the police station for questioning. 3 days later, we was all charged. And consequently, I had a year on remand in prison waiting my trial. I then had a three-month trial, got found guilty. I actually went not guilty because I said that I didn't really know what was going on, but the jury found me guilty. I ended up with a 10-year prison sentence.
Oh my goodness. So how life can just change in a second. You took big risks, as you said, in the 80s too, and hung out with gangsters, gypsies and the Essex criminal underworld living at large, but got caught and you were sent down for 10 years for conspiracy to supply cannabis. My goodness. So you were delivering and you just literally were naive, as you said, and got caught, but you didn't quite spend 10 years, did you? You spent, was it 7.5 years?
I did about seven years I did.
So you know more than most of us about captivity. And you've even written a book, and I'll ask you about that in a minute. But you're literally a former prisoner behind bars for 7.5 years. That is an incredible long time. We're struggling after not even 7 weeks at home, and we've got all the mod cons here. What's wrong with us? How on earth did you cope with 7 years?
Well, I think at the beginning, you always, the only way you're going to survive is with hope, you know? When you get a big sentence like that, it's obviously a big shock to the system, but then you get led to believe that you can appeal your sentence, and when you get to court that the judge will overturn it. So you lived for that date, basically. So for the next year or 18 months you're waiting for this appeal to come through, and then when you get that far and it doesn't come through and then you don't get it and you get a knockback, you're basically 2 years already into your sentence. So then you've got to find something else, you know, like to look forward to basically get you to the next stage of your sentence. And that's basically the only way I did it. You know, I managed to keep myself very busy. I did lots of courses in prison. I did 52 courses in total, bearing in mind that I left school with no qualifications whatsoever. I then sort of took the opportunity to do what I should have done when I was a lot younger.
Wow. So you almost found the positive. I mean, did you keep yourself positive on a daily basis, have a routine? How did you structure your day?
Well, my day was sort of mapped out. In the beginning, when I was in a closed prison, I obviously went to the gym quite a lot. I became a gym orderly. So it meant that you was like a cleaner in the gym, but you was out with your cell quite a lot of the time. And then I started doing a lot of the classes, and I was a little bit overweight when I first went in prison, and I didn't realise it, you know, because I was running around living the high life. But when I got in there, I thought, well, started doing the classes, and within a few months, the weight was dropping off and I started feeling good about myself. I got so involved, I ended up doing a gym instructor course and I became a step aerobics instructor. So I thought, that's what I'm going to do when I eventually get out, whenever that might be. I mean, I didn't have a release date because I was sentenced under the old parole system. When I do get out, I'll have a career that I could do, and I wouldn't have to rely on anyone else and go back to my bad ways.
So you literally kept, hope was what kept you going.
Hope, that's the only thing. And really, I mean, every single day, the words that I talked to myself were deal with it. I mean, there were so many situations that I would never want to be in again, you know, in prison. You're banged up for maybe 23 hours a day. The food's horrible. You're dealing with people that you would never really talk to on the outside, that you've got no way of getting away from them. Basically, you have to deal with them. You have to talk to them and associate with them in some shape or form. It's a trial every day, you know. Every single day when you wake up, you think, I've just got to get through this day. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I did manage it and I got there in the end. I'm not saying it was easy, because it wasn't.
Incredible. So you broke it down. You literally thought one day at a time. So we can learn from that. One day at a time. Give yourself hope. It's a sort of survival strategy. Were you on your own in a cell or did you share one?
Initially, in the beginning, I was on my own. But then as I got further into my sentence, I ended up going to open prisons. Then you could share with other people. I mean, when I first got there, I was in a dorm with maybe 6 or 8 other women. I mean, and that's not ideal. It's like being at a boarding school. And you can imagine all different types of women from different backgrounds, and you all clashing. It's not an ideal situation.
Gosh, no. And were you frightened?
When I first went into prison, I was frightened. But I think with me, I'm one of these people, I can always hold my own. And I've got this aura about me that when you meet me, you sort of sense that I'm not going to take any nonsense. And hopefully, and thankfully, that did help me out, you know, because people knew that I wasn't going to be one of these that could be bullied or taxed for your phone cards and things like that. That done me a right favour. But I have seen the bullying in there, and it's not nice.
Gosh, I've met radio producers in the past who've done documentaries in prison, and they've said one of the most harrowing things is the noise. Is that right?
Well, it is. I mean, when the very first day I went into prison on remand, I'll never forget it. It was Holloway Prison, and it was a Saturday morning, and I was the only person going in, and they put me up on the landing, and I was so petrified. Everyone was just staring at me, and I just thought, how am I going to cope? How am I going to get through this? You know, I just didn't think I'd last the night out. When I look back, I did it. I did it with impunity, you know, and I managed to just do what I wanted to do. And then I managed to really, I played the system a little bit, because as soon as I was in there, even on remand, I mean, you don't have to work while you're on remand, but I managed to get myself probably one of the best jobs in there, which was like a wing cleaner. So I was out of my cell, and I got to serve the food up to the other inmates. So we got to choose what we really wanted. And if I didn't fancy that, I could have that. So really, and then I used to get a good job in the laundry, so my washing always got done. So I sort of like played the system all the way through it. Once you get recognised by the officers that you are a bit of a trustworthy prisoner, then you get offered more and more opportunities, you know, to better yourself in the prison system.
Wow, so it really was keeping that hope and positivity going. That's incredible. So you were in a cell in the dark, presumably, 23 hours a day. How did you cope mentally with those feelings that some people are feeling now in terms of that entrapment and really that mental health issue?
To be honest, when I actually went into prison, I did suffer with quite a lot of depression, and I was on quite a lot of medication just basically to get through the days, you know. I mean, I had an impending trial coming up that was going to be very long. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. I was hoping that I was going to get acquitted, but obviously that didn't happen. And the days I was in a daze most of the time, you know, just not knowing what was going to happen. Obviously, once I got convicted and my sentence started, I knew then. I mean, I remember waking up one day thinking, I've got two choices here. I'm either going to sink or I'm going to have to survive. And I decided, well, I'm just going to go for it and make the best of a bad situation. And that's what I did. And that's when I started enrolling all the courses. And before I knew it, the years were passing and Christmas was here. And then we'd get to Easter and then we'd get to my birthday and then we'd do it all again.
So it's occasions that's keeping you going. Occasions. Before you knew it, you were done. That's amazing. So you wrote a book, Jailbird, that told people, and you did all these amazing courses. You obviously kept yourself positive and sane, and people started being nice to you. You obviously had a lot of mental resilience and toughness. You gave yourself that mantra of just deal with it, and that is what kept you going. Did you say anything else to yourself that really inspired you? Just keep learning. Was that it?
I was still, up until 3 years before the end of my sentence, when I got my parole, I was still quite convinced that I was going to be this gym instructor when I got out. I thought, well, what better person to teach step aerobics and gym to the over 40s is someone that was going to be over 40 when I got out. So that was the plan. But then 3 years before I got released, I got transferred to an open prison in Kent. And whilst I was there, I got a job on the farm, and it was mainly pigs. And I got involved with the pigs. And within a month of being there, I started enrolling on my MVQs, level 1 to 4 in pig husbandry. And I'd done all my MVQs, and I got so involved with the pigs, and then I learned how to become a butcher, and then I went on a sausage making course. And then when I eventually got released in 2007, I was at like a crossroads. I thought, do I want to do something related to the pigs, or do I want to become a gym instructor? And I still didn't know until probably a week before my release. But I then made a decision. I thought, it's the pigs. They've won. So when I came out, I bought 30 pigs from the prison farm. I came out on the Monday. My 30 pigs came out the following Monday. My friend let me put them on some land she had in this area in Essex. I rented a half a butcher's shop and away I went. 14 years later, there's a lot happened, you know. I've got my own butcher's shop. I've got my own pig farm. I've got maybe 700 pigs. I've got 14 vans on the road. I've got 22 staff. I do farmers markets. I've come a long way.
You have come a long way, and you've got an award-winning business, and it's got a fabulous name, Giggly Pig. We love that. So your passion for helping on the prison farm, as you say, led you to the interest in pigs. And I love the pictures of the piglets on your website. To run your own farm-to-fork Giggly Pig award-winning company. And how's your business going in this environment with the coronavirus pandemic? I mean, hog roasts and catering must be really affected in the farming festivals, but you're delivering door-to-door, aren't you?
At the moment, I mean, all the bookings I had for hog roast and things for the foreseeable future have been cancelled because of the gatherings of no more than so many people have been allowed. A lot of people's weddings have been cancelled. So from that aspect, everything is a no-no for this summer. My markets are all on hold at the moment. No one's going to any markets. I think we may be doing 2 or 3 a week, which is nothing compared to what we would normally do. We are managing to go out and do deliveries every day in different areas to try and keep ourselves afloat.
Brilliant. And you've got 75 flavours.
We're about 50 now. I've got rid of some of the ones that weren't so popular, but we do stick with about 50 flavours. But we try and alternate it. I mean, every week we do 20 different flavours.
Wow. What's the top flavours then?
Yeah, we've got one called Wow as well. It's called Wow Wow.
Well,
we do all different. We do Marmite sausages. We do cracked black pepper. Oh. We do lemon and fennel. We do hickory smoke. We do Italian. Okay. Yeah, there's not many we don't do, really. So we've got our gold award-winning faggots and dry cured bacon.
Lovely. Oh, gosh. Well, I hope that, you know, continues to thrive with the, you know, people are longing for home deliveries of something really tasty. That's really good you're doing that. I was just going to ask you, actually, about, because you started your selling days originally, if we just go back a bit, dodging school to help your dad's market stall, didn't you, in Romford? And that's where you got your sort of business acumen and again fell in with the wrong crowd. But what would you say to youths now to get them to stay in with the right crowd and on the right side of the law? Because drugs are everywhere, infiltrating the schools, you know, they're getting younger and younger. What would you say to the youths out there to help people?
I would say that although it does seem glamorous, that lifestyle, and it seems as though it's easy money, it's not really easy money. I mean, what you do lose when you do eventually get caught, and law of averages says that you will get caught sooner or later, and you don't realise that there's so much at stake. You're going to lose your family, you're going to be away from them. If you've got a home, you're possibly going to lose your home. You've got no job, you're incarcerated for a certain amount of time. You come out, you've got to start again. And when you realise that the amount of money that you lost by being in prison, you could have earned more by being straight in the first place anyway. I did a video for Straight Line, which is for the prison service, and it was really to tell people and try and educate them and say, listen, drugs are not the way forward, you know? Look what happened to me. I lost 7.5 years, the best years of my life. I mean, through that, I haven't got any children. Where I was expecting to have them a bit later on in life, that all went out the window because the years where I should have been having children, I was locked up in prison. I've got them sort of consequences to deal with, if you know what I mean. So it's not what it's all cracked up to be, you know. And these days, it doesn't do you any favours. It affects your health, you know. It's just, I'd like to see really everyone give up drugs altogether because there are other ways of enjoying your life without having them in it.
Gosh, you're brilliant and very positive. And these 52 courses, I mean, that's just phenomenal. You've got your pigs, though. They're your little children, aren't they? Oh, and you've got a dog there. We're just introducing.
Well, no, I've got more. I've got 8 dogs. 4 little Jack Russells called Sausage, Mash, Gravy and Chops. And I've got 2 little sausage dogs called Luna and Diva. And I've got 2 caney corsos called Ronnie and Reg. So you could say we're surrounded by dogs.
Love it. Love the fact they saw everything sausage at your place. So the Giggly Pig became a huge success selling sausage business at farmers markets and festivals up and down the country. And you have your own piggery in Essex. Well, you really look after your little piglets, don't you? Is it rare breed saddleback? Apologies, I know nothing about farming.
Yeah, they're outdoor reared. They're all out in the sunshine at the moment, sunbathing.
Oh, fantastic.
They're free range. saddleback pigs.
Oh, lovely. Because you really look after them, don't you? You give them the best possible start. Nice warm paddock. Good quality.
I think my pigs have to have some sort of quality of life, you know. I don't do anything with them until at least a year old. If I'm going to do what I'm doing, at least give them a longest life what I can do, you know, and the best quality of life.
Fantastic. So they're not in captivity either?
No. They're outdoors.
They're outdoors. Fabulous. Oh, that's really good. And apologies to any vegetarians listening. We're not saying anything offensive because you do look after them, don't you? And you saved a lot of them from that prison farm. Good for you. Amazing journey, turning your life around. So which strong women or men have inspired you then in your life?
I don't know if there's many strong men that have inspired me. I mean, obviously, when I got my sentence, it was all wrapped around men, and they wasn't exactly the flavour of the month for me at the time. And I probably did have a big chip on my shoulder for a couple of years, very anti-men. I mean, I've managed to let that go now. Strong women, Maggie Thatcher, maybe. I always looked up to her. I believed in the way that she ran the country and a lot of the way things that she believed in, I've always gone for. Martina Carl, I like her. I think she's done a lot. She managed to, the author, she managed to get me through my prison sentence with all her books. In prison, every single book that came out of hers, my mum had to go and get it for me because I used to read a lot while I was in prison. And it's quite strange because I actually got to meet her in person last year. I did an interview for her and I did say to her, it's your books that actually got me through my sentence, you know. It's stranger. Yeah.
She would have loved that. And that's brilliant that you got to meet her.
I did, yeah. And also, and there's another friend of mine who I was actually in prison with, Linda Calvey. I did a big long spell of my sentence with her and she inspired me really to just deal with the sentence that I was given, you know. I think without her, I would have probably crumbled a little bit sooner rather than later, yeah. It's nice when people that are doing bigger sentences than yourself advise you and encourage you that you can do it, believe in yourself that you can get through this horrible situation.
Gosh, so that will help again people at the moment struggling with lockdown. You know, it is something very new and very difficult for people, and we do have a lot of, you know, we have limited freedom, but we still have freedom and a lot of advantages, and but people are really struggling with it.
Well, yeah, I've just had another bit of incarceration because I went to Goa on holiday for 10 days. Only being there within 4 days, the whole country went on to lockdown in India. Stuck there for 6 weeks.
Oh my goodness, I was going to say that to you. And was that in your room you were stuck?
Well, I was stuck in my room. I mean, I was in my room for 2 days. And then I discovered that we had a roof terrace. Oh, so I was sitting up there on the roof terrace for the next 4 weeks on my own. I mean, for the first week, I had a bit of company because there was another English couple there who kept me company. But when they actually got a flight, one of these repatriation flights home, I was left there on my own devices. And it was very similar to being back in prison on 24-hour bang-up.
Was it?
So I
really
thought, hang on, I can do this because I've had experience of it before.
So you could draw on those resilient skills and suddenly... And they were delivering your meals to your room, were they? But literally, you just weren't allowed out anywhere.
You wasn't allowed out anywhere. I mean, luckily for me, I mean, at the beginning of the lockdown, the Goan family where I was staying did feed me and done me a really good job, you know. Otherwise, I'd have been really in a bad way. I managed to lose a little bit of weight, which done me a favour. Towards the end of the time before I managed to get home myself, which was Monday, they did start opening a few takeaway places so you could get food, but you couldn't go on the beach and you couldn't go out during the day and there was nowhere open. It wasn't exactly a holiday as such, you know. It was in isolation.
Gosh, and you didn't suffer from any symptoms or anything like that with coronavirus?
No. There was only actually 7 cases out in Goa in the whole time I was there. And those that were there with it was put into quarantine immediately. So when I actually left on Monday, there wasn't any cases of coronavirus in Goa. So hopefully it will stay that way.
Yes, gosh, well, you're lucky to have got back. And amazing that, again, you thought, I'm in captivity again. Hopefully you had lots of books with you. So we talk about your passions. Just before we talk about a few passions, we just wanted to say, if there are any empowering female brands or health and wellbeing companies that would like to sponsor or advertise on our show, please contact me at nikkibannermanradio.co.uk or through Pineapple Audio Production, and support us on Patreon, Patreon, as a supporter, or join our private Facebook group, Influential Women Podcast. So on your hobbies, how do you spend your time off then? You've obviously been to India on holiday, and I don't know if you've got any other books that you're writing. You've written your Jailbird book. What else do you get up?
Yeah, my Jailbird came out about 5 years ago. But to be fair, I've just used my time in Goa because I think, well, I've got enough material. Nashville to do a follow-up.
Brilliant.
So I'm going to get the ball in motion very shortly, yes.
I was wondering that. What about your time in India? It's like your second wave of being a jailbird.
Well, it won't just be all about my time in Goa. I mean, since my last book came out, there's a hell of a lot that's happened in the Giggly Pig and in my own personal life. So it will just be a follow-on from there. And I probably think the last chapter will be Goa 2020. So there's quite a lot I've got to say about that, because it was a bit of an adventure, I must say.
Brilliant. So it's one adventure after another. So what else do you get up to on your time off?
Well, to be honest, I don't really get a lot of time off. I mean, we've 700 pigs and dogs and staff and sausages and things like that. It is quite full on. It's a 7-day-a-week job, you know. Obviously, I like to read books. I go to the gym when they're open, but try and get there early in the morning. So I try and really keep myself very busy. But this business keeps me busy anyway. I'm also an inspirational speaker, and I go out and do lots of talks to organisations and farming environments and things like that, to try and highlight the diversity and how I managed to get through the bad times and come out the other end.
Exactly, and that's really inspiring for people. And all those courses you've learned, and that, in fact, people can do that now they're trapped indoors. There's loads of free courses and webinars, and I think the Open University, you know, all of these people are doing courses for free. So there's lots of opportunity, isn't there, for people to learn. Do you have a mantra then for living your life? You did when you were actually in the prison. Do you have a mantra for living your life now? So you said deal with it was the one in when you were in prison.
I still use that word every single day. I mean, don't get me wrong, life's a bit easier now than it was 14 years ago when I started. I mean, I can afford staff now and I don't have to do everything on my own. But obviously, when you've got animals and you've got this farm, there's always something that needs doing. And obviously, I've got inspirations, I've got ideas in my head. I mean, I want to build my own butchery on my farm to make my life a lot easier. So there's lots of things planned in the pipeline, but I just can't do anything at the moment because of this coronavirus. Everything's been put on hold, but as soon as it's lifted, I shall get the wheels in motion.
Yes, so you can write your book in the meantime. So that'd be good. So then people can come to the farm to buy the sausages then, if you've got the butcher there.
Yeah, of course. And they can see the pigs at the same time.
So exactly. They sound lovely. So deal with it is what we say, because that is what people have to do. Deal with it, get through the day, have the hope that you said, and, you know, have those survival strategies in place.
And at the end of the day, it will make us all stronger people, you know. I mean, we've had, and I believe that everything really is done for a reason. It's given us an opportunity now to take a step back and look at the way that our lives were going. Maybe we didn't have enough time for our families and our friends, and we used to like not really look after ourselves properly. By having this lockdown in this country at the moment, people are looking at things in different perspectives, you know, like they're saying, I now realise that I could have done things a lot easier or should have spent more time with my family. And it just might make people appreciate what they've got a little bit more.
That's so true. That's so true. So your next goal then is to have your butcher on the farm. Anything else? You've got your book that's happening. So you've got quite a lot else on. Anything else?
I have, yeah. I've got enough to keep me going till the end of the year.
I think you have. And you
keep me out of trouble.
Yeah, yes. You stay out of trouble, lady, and we've actually no, that's brilliant. So lastly, what wisdom would you say to influence women or men listening out there, because we've got a lot of men that like to listen to Why We're Influential who love our show.
I would say, if you've got some sort of idea or some sort of plan that you want to do, just go for it, you know. Don't keep trying to put negative things in the way. If you've got an idea and something you want to do, just plough into it and do it, give it your best shot, you know, and do, believe in yourself. That's what you've got to do.
Definitely. Oh, that's really inspiring. Thank you. And one day this will all be over, and one day soon, won't it? And it'll all be okay. So thank you so much, Tracy. And to Steve, we'll give him a big shout out for sorting out the tech for us. It's your first camera live interview, isn't it, with your dogs and everyone else in your farm, which is fabulous. Thank you for that. Thanks for your time. I'm glad you got back from India okay. And thanks for showing us how to cope when we feel confined, how to get through it, how to deal with it, see better times, have hope, just like you did with your shrewd business acumen and your struggle and overcome that amazing survival story. You came through the bad times with a hugely entertaining story and a new life to live. Good luck with the farm and the new butcher. Stay safe. And thank you so much to you and for everyone listening. The Influential Women's Podcast is co-founded and host-presented by producer Nikki Bannerman with co-producer Juliet Nichols, and this episode is edited by Safran Mirza. Please subscribe for free and keep listening for more podcast guests and our 3 years of back catalogue on our channel on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all your usual podcasting platforms. And if you love what we do, please share and tell others.